Let's do this. So today we are going to be reading from Bat's Life. This is this week's episode, this week's edition. March 1st it was released. Well, March 1st is a week from today, early access. So, now there's multiple stories on here. I'm going to try and find them. The best one. So we're going to start with their real interracial twins. Let's just get that to focus. They're real twins. Will this ever end? I groaned as my stomach lurched violently. On a 7-day cruise to Vanuatu with my family, I'd never been so seasick in my life. Even a whiff of food left me green. I need my strength, I thought, stroking my belly. You couldn't tell yet, but I was 8 weeks pregnant with twins. It can't be morning sickness, I thought. With my daughter, Kyla, Rose, then 6, I'd been a little queasy, but nothing at all like this. Still, my husband, Justin, 31, and I were so excited to add to our family. I can't wait for my sisters, my girl would proclaim, just as happy. But I thought I was having one of each, a mini me and a mini Justin. Already heating up. With West Indian heritage from generations back, my hubby is tall, dark, and handsome. No way, fancy that. Meanwhile, I'm fair with light hair and blue eyes. You wait, they'll either be identical or there'll be one like you and one like me, I joked. On dry land, I expected my nausea to abate. If anything, it got worse. Turns out I had hyperemesis gravidarum, morning sickness so severe that it caused persistent vomiting and dehydration. Finally, at around 19 weeks, when we learned we were having 2 precious sons, I started to feel like myself. Hearing the news, Kyla Rose burst into tears, upset that she wasn't getting sisters after all. Sucked in Kyla Rose. You're our special princess, I soothed her, and you won't have to share your stuff with the little boys. Slowly I started to put weight on and my bump began to grow. With 2 sets of arms, legs and elbows, it was always moving. At every ultrasound from then on, I could already tell our non-identical twins apart. Speaking of which, like, if anyone who's been in an orgy or even just a foursome, anyone who has knows that you had the more hands and feet you had, the worse it gets, or the more intense it gets. Some would say it gets better, some would say it gets worse. Depends if you're into that sort of thing. Like Justin, our biggest bub, who we called Levi, had luscious lips and a broader nose. However, Lucas had finer features, sporting a tiny button. I was right, I laughed, squeezing Justin's hand. One's like you and one's like me. Delivering at 36 weeks last March, Levi was born first with no complications. Look, I'm not going to assume which one's Levi and which one's Lucas, but some races are genetically quicker than others. Delivering terrifyingly, his brother's heart wasn't beating. For a few astonishing minutes, I felt like mine stopped too. Then, finally, Lucas let out a cry and both my beautiful boys were placed in my arms. Staring down at my bubs, Levi had a shock of black hair and deep dark grey peepers. while Lucas was a blue-eyed blonde, or Hitler Youth, as they used to be called. A week later, Levi's skin had deepened. While his eyes were pools of chocolate, "You're just like your daddy," I cooed. Just as I'd predicted, Lucas had a milky skin similar to mine. Although opposites, they were completely beautiful. Walking Kyla Rose to school one morning, a lady leaned over to coo at the boys in their pram. "One's darker, they're so different," she gasped. "I know," I smiled. Stating the obvious, she still cooed and guard over my beloved boys. When my bubs were 4 months old, I was brave enough to take them grocery shopping alone.
What? Why wouldn't you be... What fear would you have in taking the kids grocery shopping? This is ludicrous.
My God, juggling two little ones plus a full week's haul, I made my way up to the register. Soothing a slightly fussy Levi, the woman ahead of me gave him the once-over before her gaze flicked to Lucas. "Are they twins?" she asked, curious. "Yes," I smiled proudly. "Is he adopted?" she blurted out, pointing at Levi, obviously the dark-skinned one. "No, he's mine," I retorted, a little sharply. "I know," I thought, shuddering, as I remembered how sick I'd been. "I carried these babies in my body." Shortly after, Kylie Rose was with us when another passerby stopped and stared. "I don't mean to be rude, but is one of your babies black?" she asked. "Yes, but they're my twins," Kylie Rose replied sweetly. I couldn't help but smile at my girl's response. Growing up, my hubby also looked different to his light-skinned siblings. "Are you adopted?" kids at school would ask him. "No, they are," he joked, pointing to his three sisters, which I'm sure they felt was hilarious. Still, he still uses humour to cope with strangers' comments. "They're not twins," startled strangers often declare. "There are two," Justin exclaimed back, looking at the boys with mock panic. "We only left the house with one." This guy, classic joker. Now 11 months, Lucas and Levi are the best of mates. That won't last. One perk of having polar opposites is that I never get them confused. Having interracial twins, that is the benefit. That you don't get them confused. Wow. I sometimes worry that as Levi gets older, he'll feel like the odd one out. Well, because he's black. But then Lucas will reach for his brother's hands and they'll both erupt into helpless giggles. In all the ways that matter, my boys are two peas in a pod. Oh, wow. Whoa. They pay $600 for a story. That's fucking crazy. I'm getting a story in here, for sure. Here's a photo of Levi and Lucas. There we go. And that concludes this story of Levi and Lucas, the interracial twins. It'd be very interesting to see if one of them gets, if they go into the same profession. You've got a really good focus, like a really good study example there. Two exact identical twins with different skin colours. Who gets a cab first? Do they get the same employment, etc.? All the stereotypes that the world is full of, as bullshit as they are. That looks like it's episode one. Oh, bullshit. Wow. They've got, they've got stories here that aren't on the front page as well. God, this is a wealth. have a gaze. It's never too late. 58-year-old mom. I came back from the dead. Oh, this is the main story. My wife hired a hitman to kill me, so I faked my own death. Let's deal with it. When I first saw her raven hair and ruby red eye, red lips, I was captivated. She's beautiful, I gasped to my friend. Then, to my amazement, the gorgeous woman sauntered across the nightclub floor towards me. Whoops, she giggled, tripping over my foot, but the twinkle in her eye told me she knew exactly what she was doing. Very rapey. It was the start of something wonderful. Maria, or Lulu, as she liked to be known, was my perfect woman. You're my king, she'd say. Bringing me my favourite breakfast in bed. Falling badly in love, she was so keen for us to marry. So in December of 2009, I presented her with a ring, and just a few months later, we wed. For better or worse, till death do us part, we said. Now, finally, I had my happy ending. I will let you know that we are only in the first column here, so I don't think that happy ending's going to last too much longer. Okay. For a while, married life was great. Opening a successful gym, we enjoyed fancy meals out and romantic walks in the park. But by early 2015, cracks were forming in our previously happy union. She didn't like it when my children, Mia, now 20, Mitchell, 26, and Chris, 24, visited, and she was furious when I wanted to see them. The gym was struggling too, which meant me keeping a tighter hold of the purse strings. I want a divorce, Lulu announced out of the blue one day. Ho ho! Mate, a struggling gym and your kids wasn't the reason for that. Tragically, after just a few years, proceedings were put into place to end our marriage. I didn't think it would end this way, I thought sadly. Still, I had no idea how bad things really were until I got a phone call. Ramon, said a voice. It's Frank from the gym. Someone wants to kill you. Spluttering. Where did we go? I just lost myself, sorry. Spluttering with laughter, I asked Frank what he meant. I'm not joking, he insisted, explaining how, once a troubled youth, he still had some bad boy connections. Then he told me how a woman had offered him $1,200 to find a hitman to kill him. She offered me a first installment to find the hitman and a second installment when you were dead. Starting to believe him, I arranged to meet later that day and the full details of the conversation emerged. It was Lulu, he admitted. My blood ran cold. Frank said she'd contacted him not knowing he was my friend. I played along, he explained, then called you straight away. Racking our brains, we came up with a plan. I'll go and meet her, said Frank, and pretend I know two hitmen who can carry out the job. You can secretly record it and we'll hand that over to the cops. I finished. Seeing Frank off later that day, my heart was thumping. An hour later, he was back. I'd not told me all I needed to know, she'd fallen for it. Taking that taped conversation to the police, they were stunned. This is quite something, an officer said, scratching his head like it's a TV drama. True, but this was happening to me in real life. I've got an idea, said an officer, but it would need your help, Ramon. What he said next sounded like a plot of a thriller. We want you to pretend to be dead. We'll paint makeup on you so it looks like a gunshot wound and dust over you in blue powder so you look like a corpse. Then we'll dig a shallow grave in the outback. We'll bury you and take some photos. The detective explained that while I was holed up in a hotel room, an officer would pretend to be the hitman for Frank Hyde and would show Lulu the pictures. The aim is for her to confess she wanted me killed, I murmured, the enormity of the situation suddenly hitting home. But she'd left me no choice, so pulling off my shirt, I lay back and let the cops paint a bloody gunshot wound on my temple. Then in the wilderness, I lay in the dust. You're twitching there, Ramon, said the photographer. Act more dead, please. It was chilling. I kept reminding myself that without Frank's tip-off, this would have been happening in real life. Back at my hotel, my phone was ringing off the hook. I hadn't even been allowed to tell my kids what was happening. Everyone thought I was missing, apart from Lulu, who thought I was dead. On day three, my absence, the hitman visitor... Oh, day three of my absence, the hitman visited her. Handing over the photos of the dead me, Lulu laughed. But the last laugh was on me, because she was promptly arrested. In October 2016, Maria Souza, 41, appeared at the District Court of Conroe, Texas, U.S., where she pleaded guilty to solicitation of murder and was jailed for 20 years. Seeing her in the courthouse wearing a drab prison-issue jumpsuit, rubber-soled $1 shoes was quite something. Normally, her footwear costs 400 times that, I whispered to my lawyer. This will be killing her. Now, a year on, I am coming to terms with the fact that the woman I married wanted me dead. And now I'm dating a wonderful woman who is, thankfully, nothing like Lulu. I'm happy and healthy, but most of all, I'm strong. After all, I was murdered and came back from the dead. And there are even pictures to prove it. Congratulations, mate. Jesus fucking Christ. So we've got... This is the... Oh, a bit too close, I think. Shot of him dead. Congrats. And that's the first episode of That's Life. I'll be doing this every week, Monday, 6 p.m. Reading another episode, another story out of the magazines. Until I've read every single one. Might do it twice a week, I don't know yet. We'll see how we go. Thank you for enjoying.